Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has he in these last days spoken to us by a Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Grateful to see everybody here this morning. I'm glad you made the choice to worship God on this day, the Lord's Day. I've been anticipating and looking forward to the Lord's Day ever since the last one has come and gone. I want to say a couple of things as far as announcements are concerned. Just a quick reminder about three things. Tonight is the chili cook-off, and it's unofficially, it's no longer a competition. Just wanted to let everybody know about that. I finished my chili this morning, so the competition's in essence over with. But since I won't be bringing enough for everybody, men, you can bring your version of what you think is the best chili. I'll have the best. Also, this Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, is the beginning of Room at the Inn, and we'll make sure everybody's aware of that. We are heavily involved in the ministry, as Jesus said, as you've done it to the least of these, you've also done it to me. This could be an opportunity for you to fulfill that command of Jesus. That's this Thursday evening. Next Sunday evening, we are hosting the Shoals Area Youth Series. Is that what it's called? And so, if you're not aware of that, it's where hundreds of young people will come together on a Sunday evening, and they'll worship, and there will be a meal afterwards. And if you would, the food, I believe, is provided, but the homemade desserts are not. If you could have those prepared and bring those Sunday morning of next week in anticipation of several hundred teenagers, that would be such a blessing to them and to us. We've got a great chance to be encouraged in faith. As the Bible talks about, let nobody despise you for your youth. You're going to see that firsthand next week. I'm excited about that, of course. And I believe David Shannon, is that right, Cody? David Shannon is preaching next Sunday night. If you don't know David Shannon or have never heard him preach, boy, you're going to think, man, why did we not fire Austin and hire this guy? He's great. You can't hire him because he's also the president of Freed Hardeman University. He is a wonderful man. He's also a great communicator of God's will. He'll be here with us next Sunday night. Looking forward to that very much. I've got a phrase behind me. I'll believe if. Have you heard anybody say that before? I'll believe if I see a miracle. I'll believe if God speaks to me and he tells me he's real. I'll believe if. I begin to wonder if people who make that statement will ever believe. I begin to wonder if there is anything that can cause that individual to see the truth. It makes me think of this picture behind me. This individual is staring at the majesty and the beauty of God's creation. Number one, they have an opportunity to be there. Number two, they have the means to be there. And then number three, they get to be in the presence of God's beauty. And if that doesn't do it, if the world around you doesn't do it, I wonder what will cause someone to believe. Now, you may not be an unbeliever, but you might be somebody who is lacking in confidence. And so what I hope that we get this morning from the text and from the sermon at hand is this. That we as believers, maybe some believers who are wavering in confidence just a little bit, that we have confidence in the things that we've been taught and that we can ourselves inspire confidence in other people. And the text that I want us to draw that point from is Luke chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. And so I hope you have your Bible open to that text. Justin read Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. And in that text, it wonderfully elevates Jesus. that God used to speak to his people through the prophets. Well, that time has come and gone. And now Jesus has spoken to us through Jesus. And I'm going to continue to speak to us. God will continue to speak to us through Jesus. Maybe even one of his men, Luke. In Luke chapter 1, I want you to see how you can be confident. You see, not just a regular confidence, but an undeniable confidence. A confidence that would draw you to have certainty, I guess you could say, in an uncertain world. This undeniable confidence needs to be drawn from Scripture, however. Not from feelings, not from a preacher, but from God at his word, speaking through Jesus, his son. Luke chapter 1 is the text. Read it with me. You silently, I'll read out loud. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who, from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. On the outset of this text, you need to know that Luke is writing to one individual. Luke is the man who wrote not only the gospel according to Luke, but Acts. It's a two-part writing, if you will. He wrote this one and Acts, skipping over John. And he's writing to one man. The name is Theophilus. And the key phrase I want you to see comes in verse 3 and 4, where he says, I'm writing to you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you've been taught. Luke wanted him to have that undeniable confidence. He wanted him to have that certainty in an uncertain world. He wanted Theophilus to have just what I hope we have today. Confidence in the things that we've been taught. Now, how can we be confident in what we've been taught? Well, assuming that we've been taught what is true, that's not for this sermon. But assuming what we've been taught is true, and by the way, I don't think truth is ever fully attained. We're constantly seeking and pursuing a knowledge of the truth and a more full knowledge of the truth. We can't attain it on this side of eternity. But assuming that things that you've been taught have been true up to this point, how can we have confidence, a reaffirmed confidence in those things? I think it has to start with the written word. And the way that Luke says it in the text, that concept of the word, he says wonderfully in verse 1. Do you see the phrase where, in as many have undertaken to compile a narrative? A narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. What is a narrative? Well, a narrative is a story. A narrative is an ongoing story that is told, either spoken word or in written down word. Now, within the first century culture, this is something that they probably would have understood as a spoken word. There's a phrase here in Luke chapter 1, verse 2, when Luke says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, just as they have delivered them to us. Luke says, they've delivered to us a word. Now, what was that word? I believe that word was the spoken message of Jesus. That word has a background to it, meaning an oral transfer of something authoritative and comprehensive by nature. It's used again in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, and that's where Jesus is talking to the teachers of the day, the Pharisees, those men who were religious teachers. And he says, you have basically ruined the traditions that God has given to you as you have handed them down. What he's saying is God gave you good traditions, but as you handed them down, meaning as you spoke them and delivered them in the fullness that they were, you've messed them up. Now, as that word is used here in Luke chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, what Luke is saying is this. Luke is speaking, am a recipient. I'm a recipient of the life of Jesus that eyewitnesses saw, that ministers served, that's been spoken to me, that I am currently now writing down. And I think it's beautiful. How can we have confidence that we know that God's word is written down? We know and have confidence in Scripture that no interpretation of man was ever done from man, but it was given by God as men spoke. 1 Peter 1, 19, 20, 21. We know that all Scripture is inspired by God. We know that it's given to us for all sorts of good things, but we know that this is Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Did you notice that it's called your word? God's word. Inspired, written down, handed down from generations and generations before. I love the written word of God. Amen? I know you do. I'm grateful for the written word of God. And I can have confidence in the things that I've been taught because of the written word of God. But it's not just the written word alone. You see, he doesn't just leave it at the written word. Luke says another thing and another place in which we can have confidence. Eyewitnesses and ministers. Eyewitnesses are people who have seen an event take place. Eyewitnesses are people who are firsthand experiencers, if that's even a word, of what has taken place. You think about the 12 apostles and all that they saw. You think about those people who were healed miraculously and all that they saw. You know, those people as eyewitnesses, undoubtedly they saw Jesus. They saw his miracles. They heard his teachings. And do you think they just kept it a secret and didn't tell anybody? Do you think when thousands of people were converted on the day of Pentecost that they said, oh, shh? No. Why? Because when eyewitnesses see something amazing, they go out and tell somebody else. And so when Luke says, just as those who were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, they passed it down. Why? Because when you see something incredible, when you hear something incredible, you want to pass it on. Almost immediately. And Luke is trying to tell this guy Theophilus, who could have been some politician, he could have been a high-ranking individual, his name, which is a compound word of thea and philos, which is God, lover of, a lover of God, someone who loves God, someone who's loved by God, which I think is pretty significant. He could have been a recent convert from one lifestyle, one religion, into the true religion of honoring and loving the God of heaven and earth. He's trying to tell this guy, Theophilus, you can be certain, not only because of the written word, but because of eyewitnesses, what they've seen, what they've heard, and how they've passed it on. And now I'm trying to do the very same, Luke is saying, to you, so you can be a man of confidence. These eyewitnesses, they were so important. There's a little phrase in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, and it says that those who were scattered abroad went everywhere and preached. When they were scattered abroad because of the persecution that Christians were facing, they went everywhere and spoke about the things that they had seen, that which they had heard, which was the Word of God incarnate. Man, I love the Word of God as it's written down. But I love the Word of God as I see it lived out in other people. Did you know that you give me confidence? You give me confidence in the things that I've been taught, because you are living out God's word and God's will for your life. Not only as we read Scripture can we become more confident, undeniably confident, but also as we live out Scripture can we be confident, undeniably confident, leading to a certainty in an uncertain world. Not just eyewitnesses, but ministers. I kind of have a pet peeve. And Cody, they need to know my pet peeve on the outset. You see, I'm not the minister at the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. I am one of the ministers at the Florence Boulevard Church of Christ. And I say that because as the Spirit inspired Paul to write in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he said this, the Spirit speaking through Paul, that he has qualified us to become ministers. Paul's not just talking about himself. He's not just talking about his companion. He's not just talking about those at Corinth. He's talking about anybody who is a Christian has a calling to be a minister of the Word of God and of God himself. The first time that word minister is used is back in Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 13. When God called Moses at the foothills of Mount Sinai, he said, come up, basically in verse 12, let me give you my commandments and bring with you your servant or your assistant, or some translations say, your minister. Now, I may have bored you to death until this moment, but are you listening to me? When God told Moses to bring your minister, that minister is Joshua. Hear the parallel. Who was the head of Israel? Moses. He was the leader of the people. Now, the leader of the people had an assistant who was called a minister. His name was Joshua. Now, watch the parallel in the New Testament. Who is the head of the people, the church? Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 5 and also in the Colossian letter. He's the head. And guess what? Christ has ministers, servants, assistants. Guess who they are? Christians. Joshua was a servant to Moses, but because he came by his side, he helped to do his work, he followed his lead, and he carried out his will, which was from God. And now we as Christians, as ministers, we do the exact same thing. And as we minister to the Word and to the world, we follow Jesus' lead, we carry out his will, and we work to honor God. Isn't it a beautiful parallel that Luke was trying to tell this man Theophilus? You need to have confidence in the things that you've been taught by the written Word of God, by the eyewitnesses, and those who minister to the Word. We can have that confidence in those three places today. But I want to remind you also that it's not just us seeking to have confidence for ourselves. But you see, we are trying to inspire confidence in others, just like we're trying to be filled with confidence ourselves. How do we do it? I think it starts out by us committing to being ministers. Us committing ourselves to being servants. It makes me think of a little boy. His dad was a preacher. And this is not a story about me, by the way. And on a particular Sunday where his dad had gone and preached and his sermon had finished, they concluded worship, they went home, they ate lunch, and it had gotten to be a pretty nasty Sunday. Clouds filled the sky. They darkened as if just swelling with rain. And then they burst forth and the rain was pouring down. It was almost this torrential downpour. It had gotten just a little bit chilly. And so the family was huddling up and warming up. And they were just going to chill in the living room for the afternoon until worship that evening. Well, all of a sudden, as the family was sitting there, the little boy ran off. Father didn't know why. He came back into the den. But at this point in time, he didn't have on just his sleep clothes. He came in with a raincoat. And Dad said, son, why are you wearing your raincoat on the inside? He goes, because I'm about to go outside. The boy takes off to the front door, confidently, with pace, left, right, left, right. His pace begins to quicken. There's a little table by the front door and with a stack of gospel tracts. And he picks up those tracts and he tucks them under his arm and he is heading to the front door. And he says, son, where are you going? He said, Dad, I've got to go hand out these tracts. He said, well, buddy, it's cold and it's rainy. You're going to get all sick. How about you just wait until tomorrow? The little boy said, Dad, aren't people dying? And aren't people being lost for eternity today, even on a rainy day? The dad said, son, you're right. Let's go together. They head out the front door, pass out every track, and come back into their house, soaked, cold, shivering, uncomfortable, filled to the brim with the fullness of God. You see, we can't just be ministers on a sunny day when it's 75 degrees outside. and I have 6 hours of free time. And everything's going good. There are too many Christians that are Christians in the good times, and they leave God behind in the bad times. We need to be like the little boy who understood the truth more fully than anybody else. Dad, aren't people dying and being lost for eternity even on a rainy day? Yes, they are. Then it's up to me, as an eyewitness of what God has done in myself and in your life. And it's up to you, as an eyewitness of what God has done within yourself and within others' lives. It is up to you, as a minister of the Word of God, as a servant of Jesus Christ, to go out into the world and recognize that people are lost, even on rainy days, meaning when you're not feeling good, when you're busy, when you're in a time crunch, when you may not have everything in line, in order, and everything's good to go. Because whoever has 6 hours of free time when everything's going great and it's sunny and 75, has that ever happened for you? It might have once or twice. But more often than not, our lives may feel like it's a little cloudy, the rain's pouring. Our lives may feel like if I go and I minister today, I'll be a little uncomfortable. I may feel a little off. But if I recognize that souls are dying and being lost for eternity, I will commit myself to being a minister of the Word. And if I have that commitment, if I have that type of heart, as I minister to the world, I need to know the Word of God. And this is where the Psalm 119:105 comes into play. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is where 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 comes into play. Do your best to present yourself to God, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word, truth. Are you even handling it at all? Someone mentioned in class recently, I spend far too little time knowing God at His word. The individual made the comment, it seems as if sometimes the only spiritual feeding I have is on Sunday morning and Wednesday, Sunday night and Wednesday night. Well, doing your best to present yourself to God, a worker, a servant, a minister, rightly handling the word of truth necessitates that I handle the word of truth, that I spend time in Scripture. I may wake up half an hour earlier just to get myself together so I can know God and spend time with God in the morning. I'm committed to being a minister of the Word, and therefore I'm fulfilling my responsibility of knowing God through His Word, and I'm being moved as an eyewitness so that I might move others. Be confident. Be confident in what you've been taught. Be confident in the certainty of Jesus as the Christ, God as the Father. The Spirit is the power within us. Be confident in the narrative that is Scripture. Know it as a minister so you can go out and live it before other people. And as an eyewitness, you are a changed person so you can go out and help to change people. I've become a transformed individual so I can help others become transformed individuals as well. Be confident and go inspire confidence in others. You see, I'll believe if enough people are living around me like Jesus. I can get behind that. Someone might be saying today, I'll believe if someone cares enough to share with me God's love today. You could be the individual that person's talking about. If you're confident. And if you're willing to inspire others to live with that same confidence. I hope in some way God has touched your heart. We get to honor and praise a great God who used marred and sin, temptation struggling, sin struggling men like Luke to write and record Scripture so that we can have the words of life. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and I want you to have it abundantly. That abundant life begins in Christ. It begins in Christ as you meet him in his death. You can't become a minister of the word of God, nor an eyewitness of God, until you experience God in your life. And maybe if you haven't experienced God in your life, you haven't committed yourself to Christ, you meet him in the death, the burial that we call baptism, so God can then save you, he can wash you, he can cleanse you of your sins. Then you rise in newness of life, an inspired eyewitness and minister of the gospel, forgiven of your sins, and go inspire others. If we can help you do that today, boy, would we love it. God would too. If we can just support you in your walk of faith, be confident. That's God's message today. Let us pray for you as we stand and sing together.